Game On.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The video game business is like any other. Consolidation is inevitable. Activision and Vivendi have agreed to merge and create the world's biggest independent gaming company. It'll be called Activision Blizzard. Activision brings to the table games like Guitar Hero and Call of Duty. The Vivendi side produces the online role-playing game World of Warcraft. The new company will do battle with Electronic Arts. EA says, bring it on. A familiar voice was back on the air this morning in New York. That would be Don Imus. As you know, Imus was fired 8 months ago for remarks he made about the women's basketball team at Rutgers. Now he's got a job at WABC. Why? Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
In a word, advertisers.
I mean, he had a very solid advertising base in the show on CBS's WFAN.
Mike Stern is news, talk, and sports editor at Radio and Records.
And there's opportunity for syndication across the country, which can generate revenue. It's a good business proposition for them.
That's assuming Imus's advertisers do come flocking back. They're banking on his celebrity guests making a return. Stern says initially the forthright host will depend on his closest famous friends to reappear.
After the initial furor of his relaunch dies down, I think you'll see more and more of the guests that he used to get coming back to him.
Imus's salary is rumored to be in the $5 to $8 million range. Stern says ABC will need to syndicate the show widely to justify those numbers. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
A bit of a rocky start for Wall Street this morning. The Dow is down 26 points so far to 13,345. The Nasdaq is down a couple. The S&P 500 has lost four. Oil prices are at their lowest level in 5 weeks, below $88 a barrel. The people of Venezuela sent Hugo Chavez a message yesterday. We like you, but maybe not that much. Chavez narrowly lost a referendum that would have allowed him to run for president as long as he wanted. And it would have given him new powers to make his country even more socialist. From our America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch has more.
When President Chavez reluctantly accepted the referendum result early this morning, the Venezuelan opposition danced in the streets. But Robert Batome, editor of the financial journal Veneconomy and a leading Chavez critic, wasn't celebrating. He says the opposition victory in Venezuela only increases uncertainty and instability, the twin fears of any investor. Batome says he worries what Chavez will do next.
He's been hit with an embarrassment, and he really wants to even the score. And so, therefore, I think it's very likely that he'll come out swinging.
Earlier this year, Chavez nationalized oil, telecom, and electricity. Before the vote, he told the banking sector it would be next.
If I were a banker, I would be very worried about the way the wind is blowing. We've got a long, long year coming up.
Chavez today already promised his plans for reform aren't dead. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Here's the latest message from the movie business to the people of China. If you buy legal DVDs instead of pirated ones, we'll give you a refrigerator magnet. We'll give you a refrigerator magnet. Today, the Motion Picture Association and a Chinese copyright protection group announced plans to give away magnets bearing a message from actor Jackie Chan. It says, "Thank you for buying legitimate DVDs. Your action determines the future of the film industry." I don't know, maybe Jackie Chan refrigerator magnets are a must-have in China. This is the Morning Report for Monday, December 3rd on Marketplace.org. A big merger this morning in the video game industry. It involves the maker of popular games such as Guitar Hero and Call of Duty. European correspondent Megan Williams has more.
Lookout, Madden NFL, and Need for Speed. These top-selling video games by Electronic Arts will soon face a new, big kid on the block. It's called Activision Blizzard, and it's the result of a $19 billion deal between gaming publishers Activision and the French Vivendi Games. Vivendi puts out the World of Warcraft. The fantasy game attracts more than 9 million monthly subscribers, a top in the industry. Vivendi will exchange its games and almost $2 billion for a 52% stake in the new company. Activision will invest $1 billion. The deal is expected to close early next year. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
For some people, filing taxes early next year might not do much good. I'm referring to people who fall under the Alternative Minimum Tax, or AMT. The AMT was created in 1969 and was aimed at very wealthy families. But it wasn't adjusted for inflation, so over the years it has gobbled up more and more taxpayers. In the past, Congress has approved one-year fixes for the AMT, but it hasn't done so this year. More now from John Dimsdale.
Lawmakers acknowledge the AMT is out of control, but there's little agreement on how to afford a $50 billion loss of AMT revenue. Iowa Republican Senator Charles Grassley doesn't see the need to replace the money at all.
These 19 million people that are going to get hit if we don't do something, they weren't supposed to be paying this tax anyway. So if they weren't supposed to be paying this tax anyway, how come it's a hole in our budget?
The IRS warns the congressional holdup will delay tax refunds next year. Deputy IRS Commissioner Richard Speier says it'll take 7 weeks to adopt any AMT changes.
If Congress were to act on the last day that they plan on being in session, which is December 21st, we do have an early peak of filers in early February. So we're talking about delaying millions of taxpayers' refunds.
Speier warns processing delays will be especially acute for paper returns. He recommends filing electronically. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Sometimes I catch my cat drinking water out of the toilet. I don't understand it, but she seems fine with it. Maybe I should start being fine with it. As drinking water becomes scarcer with drought and population growth, cities are looking at ways to recycle water. And in fact, a few cities in the western U.S. are already doing it with wastewater. Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
That's the sound you don't want to think about when you're drinking purified sewage water. That's right. More and more cities are mulling the idea of recycling treated wastewater and pumping it into underground drinking water aquifers. Orange County, California is one of the few to take the plunge. Water officials there are launching a $480 million plant that will churn out 70 million gallons of treated drinking water every day.
This is water that otherwise would be discharged to the ocean, so we decided to recycle it. It becomes, in essence, a new source of water for this area.
Michael Marcus is general manager of the Orange County Water District. Marcus says, yes, consumers initially turn up their noses at the idea, but once wastewater's been through microfiltration, reverse osmosis, and zapped with UV light and hydrogen peroxide,
we feel it's as pure as bottled water.
I'm quite certain that we're seeing the beginning of a long-term trend.
That's Brent Haddad, a water expert at the University of California, Santa Cruz. He says the water is safe to drink, and as drought increases, he says many more cities will be forced to consider a toilet-to-tap scenario. Singapore is recycling its sewage water for drinking already, and other cities like San Jose, California, are seriously considering it. Orange County officials mounted a massive public education campaign, garnering support from national health experts to local ministers. The county's Ron Wildermuth reminds people that cities regularly dump treated wastewater into rivers, a drinking water supply for millions of Americans.
So it's nothing new. What's new here is the advanced purification that we're applying to the water.
And that's a reality most of us don't get at first flush. In Orange County, California, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
We learned last week that Citigroup would get a badly needed cash infusion. $7.5 billion from the Arab Emirate of Abu Dhabi. But Citigroup is one of the three banks involved in that so-called Superfund. That's the pool of money that would help save the banks from their disastrous investments in mortgage-backed securities. Alan Sloan from Fortune magazine. If Citigroup can raise a bunch of money on its own, why does it need a Superfund?
Scott, you're just naive. Clearly, that's the case. When these companies really have to raise money, they manage to find a way to raise it. I mean, that's the answer. That's what's so amusing about all of this and also sort of reassuring. It's good to know that there's someone willing to put $7.5 billion into Citigroup.
So does this mean that the Superfund is no longer needed?
By my definition, it was never needed because the idea of the Superfund is there are all these strange securities that Citi and some of the other big banks have had off the balance sheet, and they supposedly can't sell them for a fair price. So you needed the Superfund to sort things out. Now it's needed less than ever, but I'm sure they'll do it anyway because there's a dollar in it for somebody.
But let's be clear about this. Is this Superfund going to be comprised of taxpayer money?
No. The Superfund would come entirely, theoretically, from other companies. It would not come from the government. But the reason I kept calling it government help is people's heads were being banged together by the Secretary of the Treasury. And the whining about how we can't get a good price out of the markets, and that's why we need a super fund, that's what really annoyed me. When you and I want to sell a house, and I think it's worth $1 million, and the market thinks it's worth $720,000, no one's going to come and help me because I think the market's crummy.
But if the Superfund isn't comprised of taxpayer money, why do you care if there is a Superfund?
I don't care if there's a Superfund. What offended me was the federal government getting together with a bunch of other people to create a Superfund for the benefit of a handful of organizations like Citigroup that didn't want to deal with the market in what they call their SIBs. But the fact is that this money from Abu Dhabi and all this other money may make the Superfund moot. I suspect it'll be created anyway, but it'll make it moot because Citi's survival would appear to be ensured by its access to money from Abu Dhabi and elsewhere.
All right. Alan Sloan from Fortune magazine. Thanks as always.
You're welcome, Scott.
If you'd like to share your thoughts with us, log on to our website. It's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.